Thank you very much, sir. It's been such a pleasure to sit in with you this week. I can't believe Captain Norrie let me do this, but I told him I'd try not to beat the mothership up too bad. I think he'll be able to reuse it on Monday when he comes back after taking a few days off in observance. And I certainly hope a celebration of... we celebrate him. I don't much think Captain Norrie's going to celebrate himself, but we appreciate him. And I call him Ship's Captain George Norrie out of admiration and respect, because I'll tell you what, it's a fabulous job he's done taking over for Mr. Bell and all of that. So, anyway, salute to you, sir. Interesting stuff coming in. Just ran across this, says Leo. Didn't know if you'd seen it yet. I have, actually. It's about the state of Wyoming wanting to make it a crime to enforce federal gun laws within that state. Do yourself a favor, take a look at this. This will put an end to the whole militia issue for some, because, well, we'll get into that whole freedom thing in just a second. It's actually called the Dick Act, D-I-C-K, the Dick Act of 1902. And if you look at that, it'll break down the various militias, and it effectively says, no, there will be no gun control whatsoever. Now, we know that we have a government. You know, you say, some people will say, you know, of course it's not about politics. You're right, it's not. We don't talk about, well, the House is in such and such is in committee and blah, blah, and the Republicans this and Democrats that. I think it's all rubbish up there. Tom Jefferson said, two-party system is absolutely not going to happen. Now I'm hearing rumors of a nationalist party that may come in and may have some clout, may shake things up a little bit. But I'll tell you, I think we're late in the game. I think there's still hope. I think we'll pull this thing out in the end. I really do. But... we're going to have to become active. We're going to have to take a little bit more interest. There's no more hide and watch. And as I've said before, I think we need to stop staring at the forest fire and get about fighting it before we're cinderized, don't you know? We just heard about the complex method that you use to get in through the international line. So let's go immediately to Catherine. She's in Toronto, and she is on the international line. Welcome to the program, Catherine. I hope you are still there.
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Yes, I am.
Good evening.
Okay, so a little bit of my thanks for taking my call to start with, and it's really a pleasure to be on here with you tonight. So a little bit of my history is I'm a doctor of Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and I've done this for 35 years.
Go slow, so we can hear everything.
I didn't get a chance to listen to your programs, but my patients would tell me about them, because I would be telling them things to do in their lives or stuff that you apparently were talking about, and... you know, about Qigong and how people can heal with the mind and all these kinds of things. And so a few years ago, I had to take an early retirement for a bit here. That's another story.
Yeah.
So I have been listening, and every night, my whole life's changed. I get up at about 7 o'clock in the evening, and I'm up until about 7 in the morning. And I listen every night. So one of the things I wanted to say is last night, after listening to your program with Mr. Hyatt, the whole gun thing has really been bothering me, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have a lot of guns up here. We don't have a lot of rights anymore like that. They've already done the registry here, and it's really hard to have them. You have to have an actual license to be able to buy ammunition, okay?
Right.
So what I was thinking last night is that you're in huge debt, and you're going to take decades to get out of that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fearful of what our governments have done is possibly sold it to the Chinese that they will disarm us.
Well, yes, there's been a suggestion that the Chinese might actually try and repossess some property. Maybe that's why they want us disarmed.
And that the people will have to be working then. Your people, all these people who are out of work, and take those drugs. You take those drugs away for a while, and then you say, well, you can have them if you go to work for us.
Say that again?
The drugs that they're trying to take away from the people?
Oh, yes. Yes, the prescription, the painkillers.
People for a very short period of time, they're going to be desperate. They'll do anything to get that back. You only have to listen to John Lennon's Cold Turkey a few times to know that.
Now, are you talking about the hospital-prescribed drugs that Mayor Bloomberg was talking about cutting back on, or are you talking about drugs that people want to do that they get off the street?
Those ones, the government drugs, the Bloomberg's drugs, yeah. Those people will be desperate to get those back. That and the fact they're going to take those away, test people so you're desperate for them. And I think that the guns are going to be, you know, slowly going to get all of your guns away from you. And I hope that these marshals will think ahead and make sure they've got enough arms, whether the people do or not, in their cash to be able to supply those arms to the people when they have to give them, deputize them so that they can be fighting for your freedom. Because I do fear that China is going to definitely come and take over like they did in Tibet.
Let me ask you something. Do you have a gang or a crime problem in Canada? What?
Up here in Canada? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have been having a lot of problems with guns, and it is the gangs. It's gangs from, we have a lot of immigrants that have come from, like, Somalia, and they come here with their Tech Nines, and they're running the streets here, a lot of them. There's a lot of, foreign gangs that have come here and are doing that for sure. It tends to be, when you look at it, it tends to be the Jamaican gangs, the Somalian gangs, and the Vietnamese and Chinese gangs that are, when you look at who was shot last night, it's always someone from one of these ethnic communities.
So it's pretty much confined within the gang community.
Pretty much, unless they, like, there's a big thing a few years ago on Young Street on New Year's Day. This girl, Miss Kreba, was shot in the crossfire. And so they made a huge example of those guys, but they haven't really done anything yet. Nobody's been charged, and I think, one of the guys did get shot out on bail, and so he's not going to be going. Nobody's going to stand for that. But, there is a bunch of gangland stuff going on. But the general folks, we don't have the school shootings, although we did have the one a few years ago in Montreal, the Montreal Massacre, they called it, and where the 15 women were shot at Polytechnique.
Who was the perpetrator of that? Not necessarily the name, but I mean, what was the situation? Mentally ill, obviously criminally insane.
It was a Polytechnique is a technical school and women were going there. There's a lot of women there, and he went in and actually, this is the thing that blew me away. He comes in with a 22, and tells all the men to get out of the rooms. Gets the women to get down on the ground, and he shot them in the heads. The police did not go in until he shot himself, which there was an outrage with all of this. And, he reloaded that clip once. Like, people could have gone at him with desks when he was reloading. I think there should be more gun education. I think that it should be part of the curriculum that we learn what they're about. People know how to use them. Then, there won't be such this mystery about what they're all about, If it's actually something like I think the Israelis, they have to all study in their military, don't they?
Oh, I don't know about that. Any answer I would give you on that one would be certainly wrong. Any answer I would give you on that question would be certainly wrong. I really know nothing about the requirements, but between now and the next time we talk, I'll find out.
Yeah, I think that it is that there's a bunch of them that live here, and they've all said that they've all had to, as kids, spend time just, studying in their, serve time in their reserves. Everybody's taken courses. Everybody knows how to use guns and do, hand-to-hand combat and whatnot. But that's when they grew up in Israel, right?
Yeah. Well, hunting is permitted up there. Hunting's permitted in Canada, isn't it?
Hunting? Oh, yes, absolutely. We have a lot of Americans come up here, $10,000 a pop, to shoot our creatures,
Well, that's what I was thinking, but there's big restrictions on pistols, I suppose.
Pistols, and they're trying to take the long arms away,
Yeah.
And it is. You still have to have a license to have them.
Well, I think I may have actually omitted this because there was so much information coming out, but when we were talking about the various weapons that were used in perpetrating some of these murders, the Charles Whitman situation, that was just a bolt-action deer rifle, and he was hitting people at like 450 meters, which is a long ways away, and of course he's a rifleman trained by the Marines, so it's the best rifleman in the world. So it just seems to me there are three kinds of freedom, Catherine. You got you have freedom that's used as a tool by the so-called freedom fighters. They identify themselves that way, and then they become quickly revealed as despots with armed gangs.
Yeah.
Then you have the freedom of people who just want to be responsible, take personal responsibility, protect the principles that hold the country together through a shared belief that certain mores and morals must be observed for the good of not only the individual, but the society as a whole. And then you got the ones that are so free that they're running around killing each other like this gang bunch.
They have their own freedom. They have their own rules.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was some character on one of the network news shows that says that information where all the names and addresses of the pistol permit and carry permit owners, cops, everybody else were given out by the Journal up there in the New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And this character was just going on that these names were obtained under the Freedom of Information Act.
Yep.
As if freedom, if you can just attach the word freedom to it, somehow it makes it all okay.
That's right. Exactly.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
Well, it's the truth, though. It really is the truth. And I think we're in for, like, there was a caller a couple of moments ago that she was saying, you know, she was concerned about the Chinese coming in as well. And I really think that that's what we've got is when you're going to, once they finally get all your guns away from you, that there will be the invasion. And they, because you have to pay that debt off, and how are you going to pay it off any other way but to have the people, you know, a large portion of your population working for in slave wages? You know, we're not talking about union wages. We're talking about wages that, you know, they're making in China, so they can afford to do the manufacturing there, and then your debt can get cleaned up a bit, you know?
Well, you know, and I was doing, I read a news story earlier about no obvious reason why, no quote, with quotes around it, why China is stockpiling rice, iron ore, precious metals, and dry milk. The only way out of this debt crisis, in my humble opinion, which sometimes is not so humble, but it is right now, that could change. We got to write that interest off. We're borrowing money just to pay the interest. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. Now, Mr. Trump did it when he was able to say, listen, the only way out of this is to loan me more money. But see, he pulled it off.
Yeah.
He pulled it off, and he actually got his buildings built, and he went on. And the bankers are like, you know, that was risky. That was bold, but it worked out. This is not working out. We don't have the gross domestic product anymore to support this. And you're right. You know, it'll take decades to pay this debt off. It cannot be done.
Working and for if we free.
Well, if
that's I think going to do it. It's going to be a free workforce so that China can make all the stuff they're making now.
Well, you might have something there. You know, they've mapped all of our grids. They have mapped everything. They have mapped our power grids. They know more about us than we do. They really do. Certainly the average citizen on the street. And something else. The Russians have scheduled 5,000 underground bunkers for completion this year. Now, there's a suggestion somewhere in a really, really old book that Russia and China may get together against us. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least. I mean, the future is difficult to predict, but sometimes you can identify a trend. And sure enough, it turns out that the trend is your friend and you were correct. You know, nobody's crystal ball works perfectly, right? Is she gone? We lost her.
Yeah,
I hate it when that
happens. I mean, you guys
I thought
Americans on there, but it's usually the Russians that are going up, you know, and they're running the space station. We're not. You know?
Well.
Sad. I mean, it's scary. I find it terrifying. I have three kids, and I've got grandchildren as well, and I really worry about the world they're going to grow up in, you know.
Well, so do I. I was going to ask you if you had kids, but I didn't want to get personal here. But let me ask you this. What is your... What's the age of your oldest child? That's not too personal.
33.
Okay, great. How do you see the development of young people today? If I were to be bold enough and maybe even crass enough to suggest that as far as American culture is concerned, I am afraid that the American woman is being characterized as a tart and that the men are being characterized as weak.
Yep.
Would you agree with this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think women have turned into, like, I mean, look at the examples they've got in the cinema these days, you know. I mean, it's really not really that many women that they can look up to that are respectable, like to that Jay Wow and what's her name, Snoozy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of people those people are looking up to as role models.
Snooki, yeah. Listen, it's been great talking to you. We've actually talked a little longer than I thought, but it was so much fun that I couldn't stop. Catherine, thank you so much.
Yeah, peace be with us all, you know, and keep your guns, you know, get your marshals to defend us.
You heard it. That was another lady from Canada telling you, hold on to your guns, and I'm not kidding you. It's the line in the sand. And as a matter of fact, Ron Paul said that himself. Our firearms that we own personally, and the I will add, our responsible use, care, and keeping of them is the line in the sand. That's it. All right, this is Coast to Coast AM. Back with more of your calls in just a minute. John B. in for George Norrie tonight. As I've mentioned several times, he'll be back on Monday. He's been off for a few days, and so he let me fly this baby throughout the this week. Great callers tonight. Let's take one wild card, line number four, Chris in Clearwater, Florida. If Chris, if you're there, you've been holding a long time. Welcome, and come talk to us for a minute.
Yeah, you bet. Well, John, I'm really alarmed at how easily available, not firearms, but of course the anti-anxiety, antidepressant medications are available, and the tortured souls who carry out these mass murders or any all sorts of crazy acts, whether they're with firearms or other weapons. Of course, you know about SSRIstories.com that the Slave Stream Media isn't going to report on because their sponsors are Big Pharma. And the problem is with the malfeasance of most medical doctors prescribing these medications, there's with the exception of the rare alternative complementary integrative medicine MDs, who prescribe supplements or, you know, most of the doctors don't even run a nutritional blood analysis to determine any hormonal imbalances and their neurotransmitters or check out the serotonin or dopamine levels. And these SSRIs recycle a half-baked version of serotonin. And serotonin is useless if the patient has a dopamine deficiency. So there is a long list of nutrients and supplements that are precursors for both serotonin and dopamine. And then the fact is that these doctors do not test their patients. They only dispense the medications based on what they're told by the patient. Right. It's so alarming. And it also is amazing that I'm looking at a list here that Time Magazine reported on in 2011, and the article is Top 10 Illegal Drugs Linked to Violence. And of those top 10, four of them are fluorine-based. That would be Prozac, Luvox, Effexor, and Paxil. So, you know, we find that, you know, the mass shooting going on in, that happened in Connecticut and James Holmes and all these others, we may not know what medications they're on, but they were on medications. And there's really been a total lack of inquiry as to where not only the medications, but what happened to the other shooters, the multiple shooters, whether it's the Sick Temple or Adam Lanza or James Holmes or all these others. I mean, you know, have they been absolved of since their arrest? Why were they arrested? And you know, Adam Lanza, he was autistic. Where has there ever been an example of an autistic murderer who, you know, I mean, they're afraid of any, they're very adverse to any changes in their environment.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you something. Do you feel like holding on for a couple of minutes?
You bet.
I want to ask you a couple of questions, so don't go anywhere. Chris in Clearwater, we'll come back to him in just a minute. We got to take that break because I ran the last one so long. So what? I like talking to you. This is Coast to Coast AM. The Bridge of Sighs is a bridge located in Venice, northern Italy. The enclosed bridge is made of white limestone, has windows with stone bars. It passes over the Rio de Palazzo and connects the new prison to the interrogation rooms in the Doge's Palace. The view from the Bridge of Sighs was the last view of Venice that convicts saw before their imprisonment. The bridge name, given by Lord Byron in the 19th century, comes from the suggestion that prisoners would sigh at their final view of beautiful Venice through the window before being taken down to their cells. I have to draw this analogy. I don't want us to be taking a long stroll across the Bridge of Sighs, taking a look, a last look at our America, our beautiful America, which was the beacon of the world, which has been revealed from now and back just really a few years in our history, and escalating these revelations of all the skullduggery and ugliness that our nation has been perpetrators of and so forth, and how our soldiers have been used, our citizens have been used. and government officials who were supposed to enter service and not enrich themselves. It was a sacrifice to serve the people are now all enriching themselves as they sit and just let things get worse for us. Let's finish up our conversation with Chris here. Chris, do you involve yourself in any concern over the debt problem or any of these serious things that seem to be coming down the pike? I mean, I know we were talking about these SSRI drugs in connection with these shootings, and I've taken a little heat on that. But it's like, are you suggesting that Newtown, Connecticut, and Aurora was a setup? And to that, I reply, after JFK, anything can be a setup.
Yeah. You know, when we don't have the footage of these events, when we don't know what happened at Oklahoma City or the World Trade Center bombings in 93 or 2001 or the Pentagon or Osama bin Laden's alleged capture and killing. I mean, you know, they claim to have the footage, and then the cameras malfunction, or they're changing the tapes, and it's too conspicuous. And it's really, I think, just to try to teach us learned helplessness, and many of us are very slow learners. You know, that the local news seems to almost always cover the fact that there are two or more shooters, and yet the national press almost always ignores it. Yeah, that speaks volumes to me.
Doesn't
it? Yes, absolutely. You know, that the lack of curiosity, the family members, have you seen how these alleged family members are not grieving the parents of the Sandy Hook the murders at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, where they act as if they, you know, lost an old pet that they had to euthanize, and they're just reminiscing over the fond memories, and as if they had to put their pet out of its misery, and they're not crying. I mean, they're not shedding a tear. None of them are shedding a tear. One of them that I've seen puts on a pretty decent act of crying, but she doesn't shed any tears. And, you know, it takes her a while to get into that phase. But, you know, they start out jovial and happy. And there's so many other odd things that you find on the web, like the United Way a few days before the actual event, we're holding fundraisers, and these other fundraisers that people tweeted out. It's absolutely astounding that, you know, it's just like 9/11, where they were, James Stanley of the BBC and Aaron Brown of CNN and also a local Fox 5 affiliate reported that Building 7 of the World Trade Center, the building furthest from Buildings 1 and 2 that had been hit by the planes, Building 7 had collapsed, they reported, before it actually had collapsed. So they obviously have an agenda, and they're not synchronizing their clocks, and everything doesn't always go smoothly. And we need to look at the fact that they're just really desensitizing us with this. They're trying to desensitize, or they're trying to sensitize us to the trauma, but some of us, they're just desensitizing us by replaying, you know, say 9/11, or replaying a lot of the dramatics and theatrics. And, you know, we really, though, need to ban these pharmaceutical medications. The FDA needs to ban them, and the doctors need to be held accountable for prescribing them so recklessly.
You know, when I get on a roll, I'll repeat something, even like this is the first time that I've done Tuesday through all the way through Saturday night on Coast to Coast AM. And thanks to George Norrie for letting me do it, because it's been a real experience. It's been very, very cool. I shouldn't say this, so of course I will, but I can't verify this. And if it turns out that I'm wrong, I will come on and say, this is my name, this is my face, I was wrong, I'm sorry about it, you know, and then it'll be up to the audience to say, stick around or get lost. And either way, it's the audience's call. But it does not escape my notice that one of the little girls who was supposed to have been lost at Sandy Hook showed a picture and everything. The next thing you see is she's sitting with the president. One of the fathers was like, he was somewhat convivial with some of the people that were standing there. And as he approached the podium, he went from a look of, you know, smiling and getting along and everything's fine. He got increasingly more emotional until he began talking. And I was just like, excuse me, but that looks contrived. I'm sorry, it does. I don't trust what mainstream media gives me. I am with you when you say that Big Pharma runs them. They do. I also mentioned earlier in the week that You know, you're watching these commercials, and it's like it's something to make you sleep, something to help you with your depression, with the limited sexual side effects. There's something to help you quit smoking. And there's like a 2-minute disclaimer of all the horrible things that may happen to you in the form of side effects. The next commercial is a law firm that's telling you you may be entitled to money damages if you took one of these drugs, not necessarily the ones that were just advertised, but some other drug that was advertised at some other time. And, I mean, what is this? Here, buy this drug. And by the way, if you or a loved one experienced death or, well, I didn't experience death or I wouldn't be watching the commercial. So that's kind of a moronic piece of copy to put with it. But you get my drift. I don't trust what I am seeing. And if it were not for the alternative news outlets, I think we know a lot less than we do. Can you imagine how hopelessly submerged in ignorance we would be if the internet did not exist? You can talk now.
I'd agree with you. But you're referring to Emily Parker, who had her picture taken with the president, and her father, Robbie Parker, was the one you're describing, who came out of the door, and he's a jovial and smiling and joking, and he just switches over to acting sad, acting angry. But I'm very fortunate to have been online since I was 10 years old, 11 years old in 1984. And getting on bulletin board systems, really, I feel so blessed to not have become partisan and to stay independent, and even having learned that both parties really are not in opposition to each other on the issues from that early age. Even despite that, I find myself having a toe on the plantation every once in a while where I buy into some news report. I haven't had cable for 3 years, and I regret ever having it. But, it's sad that people feel that they need to have some kind of a TV to watch or show to watch or sometimes even radio shows to listen to. And then they have other friends who watch the same material, and that makes it something that they can socialize over. And they're just so afraid of getting away from that. It's addictive, just like the medications. They feel like they need them in order to be able to talk to people about, what really is not, it's just fantasy land when you're talking about the slave stream media. So, yeah, the web is really an amazing thing. And this is the executive order that Obama passed to hand it over to the UN. That is something that's cause for concern. We need to go back to other forms of communication when we see the censorship on Facebook, especially.
It sort of makes you yearn for the old single-pair twisted analog connection, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Things like that, things like ham radio, packet radio. I started out with a bulletin board system and 92 through 97 ran that and compiled and put out the national listing of bulletin board systems that carry suppressed and little known information and Patriot information, starting out the Patriot movement in the early 90s when I was first trying to decide who to vote for. And, to go to the local Democrat office and give them the dirt on the Bushes and the local Republican office and give them the dirt on the Clintons, such as what was in the Clinton Chronicles on the Arkansas, and the dirt on the Bushes was how the famous, Nazi money of Prescott Bush suddenly becomes clean when the Bush family decides to run with that money for office in this country. That's just astounding. And, the fact that these Democratic and Republican offices locally wouldn't respond to this information. I credit Webster Tarpley for coming out with this, the unauthorized Bush biography, and breaking that information. I forgot his co-author's name as well, but that was quite amazing to see how they said that they received the information, but they wouldn't respond to it. That silence just spoke volumes.
Doesn't it? Let me tell you what, the discourse with you and several other people tonight, it's been like having you on as a guest. I just love it, and thank you, and may you be blessed and protected as you make your way through the rocky road that I am convinced we are going to walk. All right, we're going to take our little break right now and come back with the last of your calls on the Naked Lines, the Unscreened Open Lines version of the Friday night's can I lengthen the title anymore? Coast to Coast AM. Next to come into the Global Living Room and talk with us is Mark in Port Chester, New York. Thanks for hanging on so long, Mark. Happy to have you.
Yeah, you got a hell of a voice for radio, my man. It's really, it's nice to hear your voice.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I had to kind of whittle down what I was going to talk about. There's so many fantastic callers tonight. I'm in the county where they published the names and addresses of the pistol permit holders. Just really quick, someone had sent supposedly four packages to that the Journal News headquarters, the newspaper that reported it. I'm going to say this: I don't believe it was anybody, any of the pistol permit holders. I believe that the newspaper itself sent those packages to drum up support for it, because their subscription is down like 40%. I heard.
Good.
And yeah, exactly. Good is right, because if you know the hoops we have to jump through in Westchester County to get a pistol permit, it's basically similar to what any police officer goes through.
That's what I've heard.
Background. Yeah, we don't have enough time to go through it. It's just, it's so disgusting that, you know, we're more law abiding than the average person on the street. You know, myself, I haven't had a parking ticket or a speeding ticket in over 20 years. It's just, you know, we're super careful, and we're made out to be these Nazis. Someone even on a progressive radio show made a comment. He compared pistol permittees with, if we knew what Hitler was going to be up to before he came into power, we could stop these people. I'm like, how dare you compare us with Hitler? It's just frightening. But that really wasn't. I just want to say something also about Mayor Bloomberg. Someone had called and said another show and said it was an ex-girlfriend, but I believe it was someone that worked with him at Bloomberg or worked for him at Bloomberg News. She, it was a pregnant woman, and when Bloomberg found out this woman was pregnant, this one is what he said, and this was, he said, "Kill it, kill it, kill it." It came out in court documents that this is how this man feels about babies in the womb. I mean, he's just a monster, an absolute monster. No one can protect himself except for him with his 12 armed bodyguards. It's totally disgusting. He drives me up the wall. And if I could just mention also Craig Hewlett last night, John, absolutely fantastic. The man knocked the ball out of the park. I couldn't find anything to disagree with him. He was just absolutely amazing to tell us what's going on in the world. And it's great to hear the lady up in Canada tell us to never relinquish our firearms. I read a forgotten founding father named George Mason and how he felt about the militia. If anybody's interested, there's a book edited by David Young called The Origin of the Second Amendment, a documentary history of the Bill of Rights. I mean, it's an 800-page book. It's worth your while. I mean, there's so much garbage out there. They're telling us about the founding fathers and how it doesn't affect us now. It's just not true. It's just the apathy and the ignorance of the American people, a certain percentage, it's not only frightening, it's just disheartening sometimes. It's just amazing.
What's the name of the book again, Mark?
The Origin of the Second Amendment, a documentary history of the Bill of Rights, 1787 to 1792, edited by David E. Young. It's absolutely fantastic.
That's very good stuff. You know, I have the feeling, that it may get messy. It may get very messy. But the ones who are truly patriots, the ones who truly love freedom, and they love the law, which this government routinely defies in their own interests, there may not be as many of us as there are of them. But I'll tell you what, I think we have the most powerful lobby. And I think if they keep pushing it, they're going to find out just how powerful that lobby is.
Yes, you know? And if you ever have a chance, if you could have on again, I know Ian Punnett had him on, was Peter Lance, who wrote the book Triple Cross, about the lead up to 9/11 and how basically the CIA, the feds, they knew that these hijackers were in this country. And if I could just bend your ear for another couple of seconds, Christopher Christie, the big governor of New Jersey, that everyone's they're propping for 2016 run for president, and Time magazine has him on the cover. When I read that book, Triple Cross, 20 years ago, there was a shooting of a Jewish leader in the Hyatt Hotel or the Marriott in New York. When they went to the shooter's apartment in New Jersey, there was a Passaic County sheriff by the name of Jerry Speziale. He's actually with the Port Authority now. They made a big stink in the New York Post about Mr. Speziale because he's drawing three pensions, but he's one of the top cops. But when he was a Passaic County sheriff, he had made the connection with his other detectives at the shooter's apartment. And to make a long story short, it would have connected a lot of the other hijackers and the sleeper cells that led to 9/11. And one guy who was a district attorney at the time for New Jersey told the Jerry Speziale, the Passaic County Sheriff, shut down your terrorist investigation right now or I will lock you up. That attorney general was, or district attorney, that was Christopher Christie. He's never been asked about this. It's absolutely amazing that this guy, as Craig Jewett would agree, and Peter Lance, who wrote the book, how come no one asked this guy about why he shut that investigation down? It's just, the people that are abusing us seem to get move up the ladder, and the rest of us, we have to lick their bootstraps, and some of us never will. And God bless you, Mr. Wells. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was something else. All right, look, I can give you, oh my gosh, quick, Charles and Kauai, come on, you can't hang on there all night long. No, to Charles, we don't have time. I can't talk to Angelina either. All right, I'm sorry. Listen, this has been so much fun. Thank you all for being here. It's excellent. I will be here tomorrow night. We're going to talk with Larry Kelly. We're going to talk about lessons from fallen civilizations. And somebody wanted me to repeat this, so I will. And here it is. Do all you can, as well as you can, for as long as you can. And I would add, in a crisis and in life in general. From everybody here at Coast to Coast AM, thanks, big thanks to George Norrie for letting me sit in with him from Tuesday through Friday. I will talk with you tomorrow night on the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM between now, then, and beyond. Be well and good night. Mothership out.